This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story is worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm with my friend Sean Bowles. My name is Bob Hassan. Sean, what are we doing on the show today?
Well, you know, one of the things that's happening as a trend is that people are getting coaching for how to overcome limiting beliefs in Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100 companies. And we're going to be discussing how to overcome limiting beliefs as Christians. This is one of the main things that God does for us because he imparts to us his spirit of faith and understanding of his creation, which is so cool. And we're going to talk about how to get those limiting beliefs out when it comes to our career, personal lives, all those kinds of things. But I'm also going to draw some insight from an incredible article online, as well as we have a guest, Christy Stutzman. And Christy has an extensive experience as a teacher and a business owner, but also a state representative and also married to a congressman. And she's sharing about just how we can't be silent right now and just her story of why she became, you know, a person who's advocating in politics in a major way right now. So this is going to be an exciting show.
It's going to be an exciting show. We have some listener feedback from Ms. Melanie from Via Apple Podcasts, and she titles it the number one podcast of all podcasts. That's pretty cool.
I love that. That's how she feels about it.
Yeah. She says, this is my go-to podcast for everything in life. The topic, wow, speakers, and wisdom shared has taken me to a higher level of faith and a step closer to my destiny. The weekly podcast topics have spanned over every category of life, and its speakers are from every walk of life. I love it. I look forward to each week, expecting to hear an amazing podcast. I'm never disappointed. I finish each podcast inspired, empowered, and joyful that there's more to living as a Christ follower. And she signs off as a grateful explorer.
That should be our new category for everyone who's following the show. You're the explorers with us, which is so cool.
Yeah.
Well, we want to hear from you for real. Like, this is so encouraging when we hear from you. We just started our YouTube channel, and so we're becoming active on that now. We're going to have a live very soon here. We also have all kinds of ways for you to be involved at bowlesministries.com. You can ask us a question, you can email us, and you can also leave a review anywhere reviewers are found. And we're actually taking those reviews and highlighting them to you right here just so you can feel part of the show as an explorer. And I'm so excited about that.
I can't wait. Well, Sean, let's dive right into our real topic.
Well, today you and I are tackling the issue, Bob, of limiting beliefs and how they can hold us back in our careers and our personal lives. These limiting beliefs are those negative thoughts that we tell ourselves and that we can't succeed, or that I'm not good enough, or I don't have enough experience or enough resources. And these beliefs often stem from a fear of failure and can be totally paralyzing. I know I've had them before. However, you can overcome them, you know, all of these challenges and these thoughts by replacing them with faith-based affirmations and understanding your relationship with God. Yeah. Philippians 4:13 is one of our favorite. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this actually is where the rubber meets the road in your faith. Is, does this scripture become meaningful and empowering where the Holy Spirit takes on a form in your identity and you can actually overcome these beliefs? Or are you just going to believe it at a surface level, not let it go and do a deeper work in your life? But we get to renew our minds with God's truth and embrace his mindset, which is a positive mindset. And this is even much more powerful. And I love life coaches, business coaches, these kinds of people. But what a life coach and a business coach can give you is nothing compared to what the Word of God can give you in achieving your full potential. So I think this is really profound. One more thought on this before we talk about it. Psychology describes that you know you have limiting beliefs if your statements start out with, I can't do this, I'm not worthy, I don't have the experience, I'm not qualified, I don't have enough to offer, or I don't have the resources. These are all limiting type belief phrases. So if you find yourself saying those things in your head or believing those things, you might be a victim of having limited beliefs yourself.
Well, you know, when I think about this, I think about our need for God. And if we had the ability in every area of our life to do it, why would we need God?
Yeah.
And so part of the human, this human experience is that we are limited and we have the ability to pull from God. If we were able to do everything in our own strength, then, you know, our faith in God would be in a different place because we would be relying on ourselves instead of him. And I just love this topic, Sean. Sometimes sometimes I think if I'm unqualified or underqualified, that's exactly where God wants me to be in order for him to take me and other people who I'm talking to the next phase in their life.
I so agree. I think that there's, when you're underqualified or you're not qualified for something, or at least you don't feel like you are,
yeah,
it gives God so much room to move and work. It doesn't mean you should jump into positions that you're not trying to pursue with wisdom or with, you know, with some level of intelligence, but you're going to be put in situations all the time where you don't feel it's above your pay grade or it's above your mental capacity or your training, your socioeconomic status, whatever it is. And I love 1 Corinthians 1 because it says God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and he takes the weakest things of the world and puts them in places they shouldn't be. So a lot of limiting beliefs come from, I'm not enough. But when you look at it and go, but he who is within me, Jesus, is enough. And he, if he calls me, everything that he's called me to, he'll give me strength for. And I feel like that's a principle that we have to lean into in these times when we have limiting beliefs. And this is really hard because most people have limiting beliefs, have them their whole lives. So if we're talking to you and you're 50, you may not be thinking or in touch with the fact that maybe one of your limiting beliefs is poverty. You believe that you'll never really have true success financially and you're always going to be on the struggle bus. That's a limiting belief. Like, I can't make enough money to actually support the thing I'm going after. That those are the kinds of beliefs that Jesus died on the cross to take away from you. And that's one of the things that we want to do, is like not make any of that blood wasted that he spilled on the cross, even when it comes to our thought life.
I think it's amazing. And what we're not talking about is, hey, you know, I think I want to be a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Well, did you go to college? Do you have your master's and PhD in, you know, telemetry?
Do you show aptitude for it at all?
Yes. Yeah. But what we are talking about are all things are possible through Christ Jesus. And when he brings something to you, if it's him doing it, then nothing's impossible. Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at him and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So if you think you want to be a rocket scientist, then dedicate the next 12 years of your life to education. Yeah. So that's what you can become. And I think so many times we fall victim to not being able to do something without the ability to go get it done.
Yeah.
If God's given you a dream, then let's go do it. Let's partner with God.
Well, we had a guest on not too long ago, Julia Gentry, who does business coaching and really covers limiting beliefs in her trainings that she does. And I went to one of her live trainings, Bob, not too long ago. I don't know if you remember mm-hmm. that. And I listened to her, just like, she would pull someone out of the crowd and she would figure out with them what one of their limiting beliefs was. And then she would just speak the truth over them and have them speak the truth to themselves. And it was so amazing because she said, you know, the way that we talk to ourselves internally, we would never allow someone to talk about someone we love that way. And yet we do it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it just really changed everybody, even including me as one of the speakers who listened to her, because there's like all this stuff that goes on inside of us that we shouldn't even give permission to. And as you become a Christian and as you walk closer to Jesus, you don't even allow what he's made in his image to be defiled by those kinds of thoughts anymore, because you so respect who he is inside of you and who he can become through you. And I think that's a beautiful part of being a Christian, is that it adds so much to this discussion. It adds so much strength because he's given you a spirit of a sound mind. He's given you a spirit of power. He's given you, you know, what you don't have without him. And I just love that.
Sean, we have a question, and this is a long question. I'm going to read it because it fits exactly with
what we're
talking about. So are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. If the Lord gave you an assignment and you left behind your job security, et cetera, to take the path into the unknown because you know the Lord is guiding you, once you get there, instead of everything working out as planned, it takes a wrong turn and all you encounter is roadblock after roadblock. You know that you're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How can the business that he entrusted you fail? You know that you did everything you could possibly do to make it work. What do you do in this confusing situation in order to move forward when you feel like a total failure and you start wondering if you heard God correctly? And then they sign off with blessings.
So, blessings, hashtag. Blessings. It's like, God bless your heart. You know, it's really an interesting question because we are always looking for the happy ending and the result. We're looking for the big victory, the big wins, not the L's, but the W's. You know, we want the big wins. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for us when something isn't completed in our lifetime that we felt was going to happen. And we put ourselves under judgment. We put God under judgment. We put other people under judgment, as opposed to living with the divine intention of God leads us in ways for the eternal scenario of Jesus getting all of his reward. All those who will belong to him will come to him. And there's, you know, I look at some of the church movements I've been involved with that have completely failed now. They no longer exist or they're barely existing. And I put years of my life into them, or maybe they've transformed or changed into something I don't agree with anymore. Put years of my life into them. Did I waste those years because now what it is now isn't what I thought it would be? Because I dreamed a different dream or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I look at it and this is the day the Lord's made. I rejoice and be glad in it. And so I can live in today in the full capacity of today with my full faith, knowing it will have implications on individual lives. And it's not really about institutions or businesses or legacy, although we want legacy. But if something gets cut short, like you go bankrupt or you lose a business or whatever else, that's not your end. And it's definitely not God's end. It's just one of those things that you may have a question mark until eternity. And part of living with maturity, especially in relationship, when you get deeper and deeper in relationship with someone, you have to live with being content with what you don't know and what you may never experience in that relationship with God until eternity. Like there's things that we'll know about God that we don't know today. And that's part of trusting him as a loving father, just like a parent. You don't know why your parents do certain things when you're growing up, like why they give you certain rules until either you're grown up yourself and you're with them or until you're at a place where they can communicate it to you. And I think trusting God as a father is really hard for most Americans, especially, or most Westerners, especially, because we don't like to be under authority that we don't understand every aspect of. And sometimes when I tell my daughter no, that means no. And when I tell her yes, it means yes. And if she tries to challenge me on it, I have to sometimes put my foot down without an explanation or without negotiating with her and saying no means no. And that's really hard for somebody who wants to be empowered, but also authority is really important when it comes to family structure. So that's my thoughts.
I love that thought. I love that answer. And I would simply say that in my life, I've learned the most from my failures. And, you know, the scripture in walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it feels like is what's happening in this question. But I believe the listener heard from the Lord. And I believe that roadblock after roadblock came, and I can't look any deeper into the issue, except that I know that when I failed, God's provided another way for me to do something else.
Yeah. And it wasn't really you necessarily. We're not talking about moral failures. You're just saying when something failed in your life.
No,
because you don't want to take this failure personally, because you did all that you can do and let God do the rest now. Let God build something.
Yeah. And so I, in this case, I would be looking forward for what God's doing next. And, you know, we have to just continue to get up after we've been knocked down. And there are hard lessons to learn, but this is where we learn.
I agree. It's a great question. Please keep asking your questions because we love these questions. We love working these through with you. And also, if you would answer the question differently, put it in the comments below on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, it'll help other people get a well-rounded perspective of maybe what you think. We are thrilled to have Christy Stutzman with us. And Christy's been a teacher, a small business owner, state representative, an author, and a music composer in a major way. She's deeply involved in political campaigns and conservative advocacy, traveling widely with her husband, who is a former U.S. congressman. And Christy's new book, The Spiritual Price of Political Silence, is exploring, and I want to read this book. I'm so excited about it. Explores, and I've never said it on the show, I don't think, where I'm this excited about a book, but I think it's so important. But it explores America's Judeo-Christian roots and offers a guide for public service involvement. So if you are wondering how to get involved, like with a school board or it's a state legislature or whatever it is, this is going to help you, and it's going to help you be spiritually, not just naturally motivated. She's also founded the Legacy Theater Group in 2019, and she's producing uplifting stage productions like When Calls the Heart, the musical, and a musical Christmas Carol, which are licensed worldwide. So welcome, Christy. We're so glad she's going to be on today. Are you ready to take your spiritual growth journey even more seriously, all while being involved in an active and engaged community online? Well, we have classes, activation groups, online Discord community, and a 12-month spiritual growth discipleship accelerator that I get to lead. They're going to help you embrace subjects like hearing God's voice, being empowered every day by the real gifts of the Holy Spirit, and developing your spiritual disciplines in a way that's both practical and very practiced. And I've invited expert ministers and all kinds of subjects alongside myself to teach you for 4 weeks classes each month. And if the subject that they're teaching each month isn't effective or is not relevant to the phase of your spiritual growth. We also take past classes and have our pastoral team facilitate totally different subjects for 4 weeks, so you have multiple class options on subjects that matter to you. I can't wait to spend 2 accelerator hours a month with you as I get to activate you, pour into you, and mentor you in practicing hearing God's voice. By the end of these 12 months together, I know you're going to have confidence in your own ability to trust God and yourself and actually speak to you. Come join us in Spiritual Growth Academy. It's going to be one of the greatest decisions you've ever made.
Well, welcome back, Sean. We're here with Christy Stutzman. Christy, we're so happy to have you on the show.
I'm so glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
I love that we get a little pre-show time together because I loved hearing some of the background and just the fact that Bob called you a Renaissance woman because you're active, you know, in politics, but you're also a musician writing for musical theater. It's pretty incredible the journey you've been on, you and your husband and your family all. I want to kind of start us out and just kind of take us back to how did you get involved with a political message coming from a musical theater family?
Yeah, it is kind of unusual. And, you know, for years, we've just kind of been okay, I guess, with not being quite so vocal. And I think the more we are seeing that we are under attack and that our Christian faith is being questioned and also almost attacked in a way in our culture, that we have to speak out boldly for what we believe. And there was a moment. So I'm a music teacher. I'm a composer. I've been writing music since I was 5 years old. My dad was a composer and a playwright. And so I just kind of grew up in the family. That's what you do. I mean, you only know what you know. And so we knew music and we knew drama and we knew acting. And so I was very involved in that from little up and all the way through college, studied opera for a while and really wanted to be full into the fine arts and ended up teaching. Of course, you always, as a music major, in order to, well, when you're a starving artist, you usually end up teaching, which is what I did. And I really enjoyed it. I love teaching, especially people think I'm crazy, but especially junior high age was my favorite.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy.
They were just uninhibited. They would try anything and they weren't too cool, you know? So they were willing to actually try things that kind of sounded, you know, uncool to the older kids. And we just had a lot of fun. So I enjoyed teaching for many years while I was also composing and studying voice. But, you know, God brought along this incredible man into my life. And so we got married, had a family. And when we had our first child, 3 weeks later, 9/11 happened. Oh, and we're sitting there holding a 3-week-old in our arms and we're wondering, okay, so we've been in my husband's a businessman. I'm a teacher. I started my own online business at the time to help. It was a resource for fine arts teachers. And we kind of looked at each other and said, what does his life look like right now? What does our world look like? What is it going to be? Well, we haven't really been involved in any type of government or politics, except for dealing with bureaucratic issues, you know, which we hated, you know, with our business. I love studying history, but we had never been involved. And so we actually stepped forward and said, okay, we're going to just start showing up. And, you know, when you show up, God shows up and he opens doors sometimes that you don't expect. And so we went to a meeting and the judge's wife, the local judge's wife was there and they were looking for someone to fill a spot on the ballot for a state representative seat. My husband was 25 years old at the time. And so she looked at him and she said, why don't you run? You're a business owner. You know some of these issues. And he said, well, what does it take? And she said, well, you just got to sign up. Somebody else told him that he had to pay $1,000 fee, you know? So we went home, we checked it out. It was free. Just had to go down to the state house and fill out the paperwork. Somebody gave him a name of a man to call. He was a state representative at the time. So on our way down, 3-hour drive to the Capitol, never been there before, you know, never been involved in politics before. We had started like a Young Republicans Club, you know, that it just got off the ground, but that was about it. So we're on our way down there and Marlon calls the name of the guy, you know, he calls us this name that he had been given. And the guy answers and he says, I'm actually at the Capitol right now. Normally I'm not here. But today I'm here extra time and I'll walk you through the process. He met us there, walked us through the process, found out that he was a born again Christian, loved the Lord, had been there for years. Wow. And he gave Marlon a big hug and said, I'm so thankful that you're running. What can I do to help? And so from there, we just did the best we could. We didn't think we'd win. We were up against a big opponent, but we just did what we knew, which was work hard. We just knew how to work hard. And so we did 15 parades in our little community that year. I knew how to do, when I went to the training, I realized, wow, I've done fundraising for nonprofits before. I've done mailers before, you know, I've done dinners. I can do this. And so it's amazing when you look at your, look in your hands and you see what are the tools God has given you in your life? What are your experiences? What is the knowledge, you know, and then what do you bring to the table and how can you apply that? And so we did, we worked really hard. He ended up winning by 249 votes. So, and he, they called him David. He just took out Goliath. It was just unexpected. It was the shock of the state, you know, that this 25-year-old had taken out this 10-year incumbent who had been a sheriff before that and didn't know how he did it. So we arrived at the state house completely green with our one-year-old at the time. And I just started going around and attending the committee meetings. I mean, I hadn't paid attention in civics class, you know, I mean, I knew history, but I didn't know how to do all this lingo, you know? So I just wanted to know the lingo. I wanted to know how to be able to talk to my husband at the end of the day. So I took my little one-year-old in a stroller around the state house and I'd sit in on committee meetings and watch the votes and everything. And we'd make our rounds. He knew where all the candy was and stuff. And we learned. You know, we learned as we went. And one of the things we learned was that even though Marlon was 26 by the time he got in office, and he was one of the, he was the youngest serving member of the state house for about 5 years there.
Wow.
We learned that your faith guides you. And there were a lot of decisions that came, you know, to him that a lot of other people were struggling with, people that were older than him. And we wondered why was it so easy for him, you know, in some of these decisions. And it really was his faith. His faith was clearly guiding him. And you could see what was right and what was wrong to do. Now, I mean, when it came to, you know, roads funding and, you know, stuff like that, that's debatable. I mean, it's not a right or wrong situation, you know, but moral issues, easy. I mean, they tried to pass a marriage amendment. You know, and Marlon, it was an easy decision for him. For others, it wasn't, but it was easy for him. And there were other decisions too, whether it was pro-life decisions, I mean, you name it. So I watched him in that process and helped him through it. And ended up, my husband ended up in the state Senate and then ended up in Congress. So he served there for 6 years. Wow. And then I ended up running as a state representative and served there for a term and a half. But all of this was not planned. I mean, in my plan, in God's plan, it was, but it wasn't my plan, you know, but God had plans for us that we didn't understand. But if you step through those open doors by faith, when you show up and God opens the door and you look at each other and go, here we go, you know, step through, God's going to show up. He's going to be there. He's going to be with you.
That's one of my favorite themes. I know Bob's too, when God takes us on a journey that we wouldn't have led ourselves. You know, I just love that. It's like one of the themes that he does with his people, that we get into places that we go, I would have never created this life for myself. Yeah. You did this, God. Yeah. But I'm so grateful I get to do life with you. Mm-hmm. I know Bob has a question.
Well, I think, you know, Christy, you alluded to this, like our faith is our secret sauce.
Yeah.
And for your husband, you know, some of these decisions were easy because of his faith. And I know that you, you have moved forward in both politics and in musical theater, but you've written a book, and I love the title. It's The Spiritual Price of Political Silence.
Yeah.
And it's like, talk to us about what compelled you to write this book and why now?
Yeah. Well, it was a God thing again. You know, I mean, I never expected to write a book, but I was asked to speak as a state representative at several different events. At churches, at gatherings, about how to get involved. I had so many people asking me, I just don't know where to start. It's a little overwhelming, you know, I mean, it's ugly, it's kind of nasty. I don't know if I want to get involved. So I spoke and I presented a PowerPoint presentation and just reminded us of the huge and glorious faith-based history that we have as Americans. It is just rich.
Yeah.
And I think we've lost it. And I really kind of did a deep dive into where did we lose it? Where did we stop telling these stories? Because God told us to continue telling the stories to our children and our grandchildren, right? And at some point we stopped. And I wondered why. Why did we stop? So I did a refresher, you know, course on that. And then I talked about just practical ways of how to be involved and why we should be involved as Christians, specifically as Americans. Well, I was approached by several people. Can I have a copy of your PowerPoint? And I said, well, you know, I want to make it look nice, so give me a chance. And so I contacted a friend of mine who it was a publishing company. And I said, how do you print it off nicely? You know, I want a little flyer, you know. And she goes, what do you have? So I sent it to her and she said, well, I think you have a book. And I said, no, that's not what I got. It's just a PowerPoint present. She said, no. She goes, Christy, I think the title of this is Speaking to My Heart as an American and as a Christian. And I really think you should write a book. I think there's a lot of people out there that want to talk about this. So the reason we landed with the spiritual price of political silence, and it's written specifically to people of faith in America.
Yeah.
So there is a duty and also a birthright as Christian Americans that we have. Just like Jacob and Isaac and all those guys had birthrights given to them. And with that came a responsibility. We have the same situation here in America. So our founding fathers, actually before them, the people that came before them, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the Quakers, all of these people who came here seeking a religious asylum, really came here to kind of have the freedom to allow the gospel to flourish and to bless the entire world. Their purpose in coming here was that the light of the gospel should spread around the entire world. Well, we have done that. And as a member, when my husband was a member of Congress, we went to Israel, several other places on diplomatic missions. And I had a guide tell me on the Mount of Beatitudes, after we read Matthew 5, he said, read verses 14 through 16 again. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost, we read that. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on the hill, we read that. And he looks at us and he says, I just want to tell you as a citizen of Israel that I recognize you Americans have done this thing that Jesus said. You've been a light to the world, but I want to ask you, please don't stop.
Wow.
If you don't stop, I don't know who's going to take your place. And I told my husband, I said, wow, we can celebrate that, but we can also mourn it, because celebrating the fact that the vision of the Pilgrim Fathers and the Quakers and the Puritans and those who were stepping stones, which is not fun to be, right? Those who were stepping stones never got to see it come to fruition. But we just heard from multiple people in Europe and the Middle East that it happened. We did it. Charities, missions, education, disaster relief, healthcare, you name it. We have gone around the world with the light of the gospel and they have recognized it. They might not know exactly what it is, but they see this. They see it. And the fact that he said, please don't stop, was just heartbreaking to me. I thought, what is he seeing? What is he watching? He's watching the foundations crumble, and whose watch is it on? It's on mine. So that's why I wrote the book, because I feel like if we lose freedom here in America, where it has been allowed to flourish and grow and bless other people around the world, if we lose it here, we lose the standing and the ability to be able to continue that work. And that's why it's so important to be involved in politics. You know, the spiritual price of political silence in America, not anywhere else, in America, is that we're going to lose our children and we're going to lose our ability to spread the gospel around the world.
Wow. And I think of that and I just think how profound that message is right now in 2024, before elections, before we go into kind of the next phase of what our country can look like. And we're kind of at this crossroads. I want to take us back, though, because regardless of that crossroads, you as a couple went into politics, and I'm sure that there was a lot of prices to be paid there.
Yeah.
Talk about when maybe a time that felt like it was really hard, but God put something in front of you that made it worth it.
I've got a great example of that. There's so many, you know, heartbreaking situations, difficulties, tragedies, whatever. But my husband ran for U.S. Senate. And it looked like he was going to win. I mean, we had the polling was great. It was looking good. And he had worked, you know, the whole state for an entire year. But he had made some enemies in Washington because he's an independent thinker. and he hadn't really followed in line with leadership on a couple different issues. And when you do that, you stick out your neck and you risk it, you know, that they could come after you. And but he did it on principle. He has to look himself in the mirror and be able to say, I can answer to God that I did what I thought was right. And, you know, whenever you're going against leadership, you want to make sure that you tell them why. And he always did. He went directly to them and said, before the vote, I got to tell you, here's why I can't support you. If we could work this out, that'd be great. But I just can't support this. It's a biblical principle. So he had done that. But there were still issues that, you know, they came in and they spent $8 million against my husband in the last month. Wow. And it was insurmountable. We didn't have enough to answer back. We couldn't defend ourselves. It was the most helpless feeling in the world, especially as a spouse, to see lies, just complete and utter lies. You know, we've all seen that happen, you know, time and time again, but this is back in 2016. So it was tough. It was really tough to go through that. And he had enjoyed serving in Congress. He had played on the baseball team for their charity game every year, you know, the Republicans versus the Democrats and stuff like that. So we lost and it was tough. And so we just kind of regrouped and, you know, went back to our lives and he went back to his businesses and started some new ones. And I did too. And we got a call one day and it was the coach of the congressional Republican baseball team. He was still in Congress. And he said, Marlon, are you okay? He goes, did you hear what just happened? And Marlon said, yeah. He goes, there was a shooting at the practice. And Steve Scalise got shot pretty badly. And there was a couple other guys too. And Marlon just couldn't believe it. He was in shock. And the guy started crying. He said, Marlon, you'd be dead. You'd be dead. Mm. You played third base. And he said, the guy came around the third baseline. And the guy that took your place, Ron DeSantis, had left early to go take a shower in the gym. And he said, you never left early. In fact, you brought your kids to every practice. He said, you'd be dead and I'd be afraid your kids would be injured as well.
Wow.
And I told my husband, I said, you know, sometimes in life you don't know why things happen. You'll never know until you get to heaven. But in that moment, we knew why we lost that Senate race and went through all that heartache and that just very difficult time. God saved his life. And he was able to be there to raise his kids. So, you know, even though when you don't understand what God's doing, you got to trust him.
That's so beautiful.
It makes me think about God's sovereignty and the fact that his supernatural, you know, will for our lives, he's looking out for us. And we, from our view on the earth, think and see one thing, but our secret sauce is if we have to trust that God from his 30,000 foot view is orchestrating everything for us.
Yeah.
You've written your book. What do you think the responsibility of people of faith in approaching civic duties are now as it ramps up?
Yeah, I think it's very important to be informed and to have the right resources. One of the things I included in the book was reliable resources because we don't know who to trust anymore or where to get good information because everybody's out for, you know, earning clicks and going viral and all this stuff instead of actually telling the truth and what's going on. I think the other part of it is we've gotten lazy as Americans and just kind of said, well, I elected a good guy. He'll do a good job and we don't check back on him. And that's our responsibility as citizens is to keep them in check, is to hold them accountable. You have to do it in a kind way, in a Christian way, but keeping track of how they're voting and then communicating with them. So I think it's really important right now that we realize that a lot of the most important decisions aren't in Washington. They're actually on the school board. They're the commissioner's meeting, the town council. I mean, those are the front lines right now. And those are more accessible to us as citizens than Congress. And so if we get to know the people on those local boards and have a relationship with them, you know, if they're not a Christian, witness to them. But if they are a Christian brother or sister in Christ, then we can communicate with them, encourage them, but also hold them accountable. And then if we vet them early, and make sure that they have our same worldview and our same approach. I mean, it's not going to be exactly, but as long as it's, you know, overall, our same worldview, we'll be able to communicate with them better, but we'll also be able to be a friend to them if they run for higher office. And usually someone on the school board or the town council will end up running for a state position, state rep, state senator, and possibly eventually Congress. Well, if you've known them from the time they were in the school board and you are a friend with them and you went to the meetings, you have an in. You have an in with that congressman. When they see your name come up on their cell phone, you're speaking for probably thousands of people when you talk to them.
Wow. That's so profound. I think I look since COVID, I think so many people have gotten involved and the sleeping giant of the church has been waking up and going, wait a minute, we got to be in these school board meetings. We got to be in these town hall meetings. Yes. And I keep hearing wins, like even people who are going to be on the show, like will randomly tell a story of, you know, a school board in South Carolina, how they just went and said, this isn't okay, what's happening. And they advocated for their first time for their teenager. And they got all these families behind them and they won. And they were like, this isn't that hard. This isn't,
it's not hard.
This is our God calling. We felt as much called to this as when we serve our local church. We had no idea how empowered we would feel that God just had a big win because we said yes. And so I love your story because I think you and your husband are examples of people who are just saying yes to God over and over and over. And we're so proud of you for that. We're so happy for you. I know you do musical theater and that you have things going on right now in the musical theater genre. I'd love for you to tell us about those before we talk about your book and how to get a hold of your book, just so people can be in touch because there's so much good that's happening in musical theater around the nation. And you're part of that.
Yeah, sure. I actually love it. It's my passion. And so from the time I was little, you know, I was writing lyrics and melodies and putting them together and studying movie soundtracks and just all kinds of stuff. So I really am thrilled to be now writing musical theater. And we've chosen some titles that people would recognize. So one of them is When Calls the Heart by Jeanette Oak. I read her books in high school growing up multiple times. I was in love with the Mountie that she wrote about, you know, I mean, I just loved
as were many women. Yes.
So we've got the musical. It's called When Calls the Heart, the musical. It premiered in 2021. And then we did another run in 2022 in the middle of COVID actually. And it was a little bit challenging, but we put the music out there. It's on Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon Music and stuff. So you can find it there, but it's called When Calls the Heart, the musical. And it is being licensed all over the country to different theaters, and it's available for license now. We're trying to make it very affordable so that regional theaters and local theaters and also universities and high schools can do it. I'm going to be premiering Love Comes Softly, which is another book series by Jeanette Oak. Not the same story, different story, but great themes in there. How do you pray when you've been through a tragic loss? You know, how do you find faith when you go through tragedy and trauma? How to pray? There's so many stories and really good principles in this story. There's a song called "There's a Time to Mourn," where a Cherokee mother is sharing with this girl who has lost her husband and is expecting her first child, you know, that it is okay to mourn. We haven't talked about that in our society. And as Christians, I think we should be the first to be empathetic with those who have gone through a great loss. So it talks about things like that, but it's also a lot of fun. We've got some hoedowns and really fun, you know, spirited songs, and you get your toe tapping and humming along. So Love Comes Softly. I've also done a musical Christmas Carol, which has been performed here, but also over in England, and have been receiving rave reviews. So you can go to musicbychristy.com, Christy, and find my music. And then also I'm with Round Barn Theater in Napanee, Indiana. Our theater's there. We're doing a big Hardee's weekend. So they're fans of When Calls the Heart, and we're doing a weekend in August.
Awesome. So tell us how to get a hold of the book. And I know the book is launching now, so I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, it's Endgame Press is the name of the publisher. And then you can also find it on Amazon, on christianbooks.com, and anywhere where books are sold online. We would love to get it into bookstores and things, but we're working on that. And I'm also going to be recording an audiobook. So just look online for The Spiritual Price of Political Silence. And then also just pray for what we're doing. Musical theater, I see it as a mission field. There's not a whole lot of good, uplifting Broadway style content out there. So would appreciate your prayers as well.
Well, Christy, we've loved your story. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And we've just been so honored that you've been on with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, this comes to the end of our show. And Christy, you've been an incredible guest. We hope to have you on again. But I want to encourage you, get that book. And also, we don't want to be silent during this time. We are called to be a voice. And I know many of you who are watching the show, you're starting incredible projects, or you're working in businesses or careers that not everybody sees or knows or hears you, but you're known by us. We see you. We see what God's doing through you and in you. And we're so excited to continue that conversation online through YouTube or even at bowlsministries.com. So visit our podcast, review it, subscribe to it. Well, we'll see you next time on Exploring the Marketplace.